Appreciate your prayers this evening. The other day, me and my family were riding down the road and just come up in conversation. One of the boys had asked a question about the sizes of some different congregations throughout the ones, you know, we attend for camp meetings and stuff, and they were comparing the sizes of congregations from here and then the few they know of, and just asking us some questions about it. And as we were having that conversation, and it may have even come up that maybe this congregation had been larger a number of times, and then maybe we are smaller now than we have been at times, but it fluctuates back and forth, and they had lots of questions about it. But as we were discussing that and having that and talking about that, I started thinking about the different ones we've seen over the years in different parts of the country, and then maybe even more so here. Just had some faces come before my mind. Some faces that we've seen in the past that we don't see anymore. And I understand that life goes on and things change and people get older and they live their life, they live a full life, they pass away. Some become afflicted and aren't able to make it out to service anymore. But I'm really thinking of the ones that have been here at some point or another, at some time or another, and for whatever reason have made the decision to not to continue to be in service. For those who, in other congregations, that have made the decision to leave and be in congregations, start congregations of their own, for whatever reason. In thinking, what was the turning point? What caused them to make that decision? Here I am in services. At some point or another, most have made a profession. But what is it? What was the final thing in my mind that said, I no longer want to do this? That I've made the decision to quit going, to quit making that profession, to quit trying. I'm sure there's many factors in that. There's many things that play a part in those decisions. But I think if we could sum it all up in one word, the word I'm thinking about this evening is distractions. At some point, somewhere down the road, something came along. They had a taste of it at one point. But at some point, something came that drew their attention away from where it needed to be. Something got in the way. They turned their head to one side. They made a wrong turn. And they weren't focused on the end goal as they should have been. So distractions, that's where my thought is this evening. Just probably won't take more than a few minutes, but y'all pray for me as we look at this topic. Very common phrase today that we hear. It's become a very, very popular phrase in the last few years, is distracted driving. We've heard of that quite a bit. It's lawmakers have done things, and we've tried to come up with laws to try to do things to discourage distracted driving, from fines and different things. But have you ever been in a place where you're maybe driving down the road following someone, and you see this vehicle in front of you, and maybe they're not keeping a steady speed. Maybe they're slowing down, speeding up, and you're thinking in your head, why don't they just put on their cruise control or something? Or maybe they veer and cross the lane, or maybe a tire drops off the side of the road, or something to that effect. And then finally, when you do get the the chance and you feel safe enough to maybe get up even with them or pass them, you see that they're being distracted. Now, sometimes I know there are other reasons for those things, but my mind is this evening is going to the distractions. And we get up, and maybe you can see that their hands are on the steering wheel, but maybe they have a phone in their hand, or maybe they're looking down in their lap every few seconds. And I'm not here this evening to talk about our use of cell phones while going down the road. While I do think it's something we should be very careful about, I've tried myself to be very careful in the last couple of years, because it is a serious thing when you're driving something that weighs a couple thousand pounds at 70, 75 miles an hour and you're within a couple feet of each other. But that is a serious decision you have made to get behind the wheel of that vehicle, travel at that rate of speed, and to let your mind wander, or to have something to take your mind off of where it needs to be on driving. That is serious. And how that applies in our life as we travel down life's road. It is a serious thing to live for the Lord, to live for Him. And any little thing that can take our minds away is something serious that we really need to think about. The other thing I was thinking of about the driving scenario is how many times, or I know I've experienced this, it's not often, but you'll be going down the road and you'll get stuck in some traffic and almost to maybe a dead stop, just crawling along at a slow pace, and you think, well, there must be something up ahead that's caused this traffic to stop. And then you'll go a little ways down the road and you'll see some lights up ahead, but it might be on the other side of the interstate, not even in your lane. You think, well, what is the reason here? Well, it's because people have become distracted of what's going on the other side. And when really there was no need to slow down in the first place in the lane you're in, but we became distracted about what somebody else is doing, what's going on. So, Lord, help us to be able to keep our attention focused on where it needs to be. Not let those things going on around us, behind us, to the side of us, steer us away from what the Lord has in mind for us. If we could, I'd like to turn to Genesis 19, and we'll read a few verses there. Genesis 19, we'll start with verse 15, just read a few. Starting at verse 15. It says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life." And this is what I want to focus in on right here, this next part. It says, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Look not behind thee." You know, Lot and his family here, his wife, him and his wife and his two daughters, the Lord had given them something specific to do. And that was to leave the city, and then he gave it a more detailed instruction that says, "Look not behind thee." I think in life, the Lord has given each and every one of us something to do. Some He may have called to preach, to teach, to go different places. Some may not have felt that calling or have heard the Lord's voice in that way, but maybe He has called some to just maybe live a life, maybe just living life, being the example to others, living a holy and pure, that others can see Christ in them. Maybe He hasn't called you to go here and there, but whatever the case may be, the Lord has given us all something to do. And that is to live faithful to Him. We all have the same destination in mind. I hope and pray that. We all have the same goal in mind. We all have the same instructions to follow. We all have the same roadmap to follow. We all want to go to the same place. And given all of Lot and his family a specific set of instructions. And how important it is when the Lord gives us a set of instructions that we keep our focus and our mind set on what He has given us to do. So I look at those faces that I mentioned a few minutes ago, the faces that flashed in my mind. And I wonder, Lord, they've no doubt if it was only for a short amount of time, they were here at one time, they saw this way, maybe they experienced this way, even if it was for a short time. But Lord, what caused them to make that decision? I mean, how could somebody make that decision to not go this way any longer? And I thought, Lord, you know what? That can happen to me just as easy as it could happen to any one of them. You know, I was talking to an elderly person in the nursing home the other day. And I don't remember exactly how the conversation went, but we were talking about being faithful, keeping our eyes on the Lord, living a life that's pleasing to Him. And I made the comment to this person. I said, you know, I said it would be a shame to live your life so dedicated to the Lord all your life and live so faithful and then come down just to the last few days or the last few hours of your life and then let it all go. And that person agreed with me. It's only now that I've gotten older. You know, I used to think growing up that, and no disrespect, but I used to think old people had it easy. I used to look at people like, well, I'll mention the name, Brother Harold. As long as I knew Brother Harold, he was retired, and I just thought, you know, he's got it easy. He's retired and, man, he can go and do as he pleases, and you know, and all old people, no disrespect, you know, they've lived their life, they've had the experiences, and when troubles come their way, you know, they've had the experiences. They know how to stay focused on God. They know how to keep their mind stayed where it needs to be. But you know, no one is immune to what the devil will use to distract us. No matter our age, no matter what experiences we have, no one is immune to that. It can happen to me just as quickly as it happened to others we have seen here and others that have made those decisions to move on with their lives. Lord, help us to stay focused. So distractions, things that cause distractions. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on things. Because I believe for everyone it can be different. There are things that we all know about. There's We heard a little bit about it this morning. There's the news. There's the world of politics. So much trouble and turmoil going on in the world. Entertainment. And man, you could put that big word entertainment up there, and then just so much goes under that word entertainment that can become distractions. So many things that can cause us, that takes away our time and our energy, and that can pull away our focus from where it needs to be, and to cause us to lose sight of God. But not only things, but it's everyday situations that comes from just living life. Just the situations we face in life. I think of, we heard some of them this morning in Sunday school. And I know we were talking about faith in Sunday school, but prosperity can be a distraction. Wealth can be a distraction. The things that the Lord has been so kind enough and generous enough to allow us to have in our lives, we can turn around and allow those to become distractions. We can, I was the one that mentioned in Sunday school, we can take those things that He has allowed us to have, and then we can develop the mindset that it was from our own doing, our own good, and that can take our mind off of where it needs to be from, and that's on the Lord. But problems, trials, I feel like I'm pulling from the Sunday school lesson this morning, but I have found that when I face these problems and trials in my life, that I become self-focused. I become consumed with what I'm going through. I have let it. I'm trying to do better about that, but that becomes my focal point. I tend to shut out the things that need to be taken care of, whether it's praying for someone, whether it's focusing on the needs of my family, but that problem or that trial becomes such a big thing to me. And Lord, help us that when those things happen, that we will be able to see through those things and not lose sight of God. Consequences for being distracted. Let's pick up, we'll skip a few verses there, and we'll go to verse 24 in that same chapter, Genesis 19, 24. Those verses that we're going to pass over, Lot had some discussions, and I don't see it necessary to read that. So we'll pick up at verse 24. It says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire, from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But His wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt." That's a major consequence it was a disobedience. She had direct instruction, or they had a direct order to not look back. She chose to disobey, and she had to suffer a consequence for that. Now, I can kind of feel for Lot's wife here. Not trying to make any excuses, but you had to think about what she was leaving. As wicked of a place as that was, that's what she called home. No doubt she had some earthly possessions there. No doubt she had made some memories there. She was being asked to leave this place. It says they had their two daughters with them. My thought here is, why did she look back? Why did she get distracted? It says they had their two daughters with them. I couldn't find where it says where their two daughters were in the exiting of this city. Was she looking back to to see her home being destroyed? Was she looking back because she was leaving behind some earthly possessions that meant a lot to her? Was she looking back to see where her daughters were? I don't know. Regardless of what the reason was, she still made a willful choice. She made the choice of disobedience to look back. There are consequences for not staying focused on the Lord. If we are making this journey through life and we lose focus and we make a wrong turn, we're driving down the road of life and we end up in a place that we know we're not supposed to be in, and we don't do something to correct that situation, there's going to be a consequence for that. This consequence seems severe. From all I can tell, she turned into a pillar of salt. From what I can tell, that was the end of her life. You know, we might not think of our consequences so severe if we make a wrong turn here and there. But if we continue to stay on those paths that we know aren't the right way, our consequences will be just as severe. It will be the end of life as well, the end of time. We'll miss out on the greatest reward there is, and that is heaven, our home. I'd like to share a little personal experience with you, if you'll allow me. It might be in some detail. It's kind of a personal experience, but kind of also a testimony. I'll draw a little illustration on the board. Of a circle with a flat side. But when I think about life, and this is very simple, and I hope I can relay it to you, is this is how I see it. I think of this all out here as life, the life we live, the world that we have to be in. We have no choice. We have to be in this world. We have to live in this world. This is where God put us. But I like to think of this circle as a wall of protection that maybe God has put around me. Maybe a barrier that He has put between me and the world, if I allow Him to put that barrier in my life. And then this little dot in the middle is what I like to think of myself. This is where I want to be. This is ideal. This is the ideal situation. This is the place I want to see myself in. I want to see myself inside this barrier, inside this wall, as I'm living life. Now, I'm not saying I stay here all the time. I might get close to the edge a few times and get close to the wall. Things might come along that might crack this wall. I might get close to the edge, but with the Lord's help, and by me staying focused on Him and keeping my mind stayed on Him, I want to stay as close to the center as possible. I'll tell you a few things over the last maybe 3 weeks of some of the things I've experienced. And looking back over those things, the place I found myself in, it's personal and it might be detailed, but y'all bear with me. Here a few weeks ago, let me start here. There's been something I've been holding before the Lord for a very long time. I say a long time. The last 2 or 3 years, and that's a long time in my mind. And I've been praying to the Lord about a job change. So the Lord He worked something out. There was opportunity. I applied for a job, and I got a response back from that job. And I was allowed the opportunity to, in the profession and the jobs that I apply for, most of the time you have to go take a test. And so I went and I took that test. And I was very thankful for that. And at the end of that test, I was sitting down with some of the personnel from that company, and I was asking them. I said, "Well, I was kind of anxious." I said, "When do you think I'm going to hear something back?" I had went through a little interview process, and they assured me that I had just gotten home, so I had a good 2 weeks at home still when I was talking to these personnel. And they assured me that I would hear something within the next 2 weeks. Well, 1 week went by and I didn't hear anything, and I wasn't too surprised. But that last week I was home, I was they had my hopes up. I was really expecting to hear something from them, and it got down pretty close to me having to go to work, and I hadn't heard anything from them. And I had explained to them that when I got to work, communication was they would have had a hard time getting in contact with me. Email was just about the only way they would be able to get a hold of me. But they assured me that I would hear something before I went back to work. So my wife would probably say I was very impatient that week, in the last few days before I went to work. But anyway, I'd never heard nothing. So I went on to work and on my normal Thursday. And I hadn't been at work, so that was on my mind. That was playing heavy on my mind, the results from that test and from that interview and how all that went. So I went to work on my normal Thursday. And I got to the platform, and I hadn't been there very long. And somehow, I guess it was probably a text on my phone, and I had gotten word that a very close family member had been brought to the emergency room. That they were having trouble with having some breathing issues, and there was concern there, and that they were going to seek help at the emergency room. Of course, that played very heavily on my mind, and I was trying to hurry up and work out some transportation issues if there was going to need to be any, and that's a big deal, especially since that was my day to arrive at the platform and getting a flight right back in a couple hours later. It can cost. It's a lot of dollar signs, and so that was going on in my mind. This family member in the emergency room, and it was weighing heavy on my mind, and I'm trying to pray to the Lord about it, and I'm trying to stay calm about it. So that went on for most of the day. I was going to, if need be, I was going to take the last flight back in, which would have been around 3 or 4 o'clock. But I found out around early afternoon that this person was going to be okay. They were just going to monitor, but they felt like everything was going to be okay. So at that time, I didn't see the need to go in. So that was all day Thursday, and then Friday came, and I got an email from this job that I was hoping to hear from before I went to work, and they gave me a job offer. I was ecstatic. I was so excited. But they needed me to come in about 3 days to do a physical and some other things that had to be done before the start of the job. And I had just gotten out there. And again, this poses a problem when you have to let your supervisor and this type of stuff, these type of people know that you have to go in, and then they want to ask questions of why do you have to go in, and then you're obligated to tell why, and it was just a touchy situation. So I had that on my mind. Well, I went ahead and come in. The Lord worked all that out. I went through the physical, and everything went okay. The Lord helped in all that. Went back to work. Well, I was on my way to work. And this new job was going to require some long-distance travel every day. So I thought I'd go get me a little vehicle that got some good gas mileage instead of driving my truck. Well, I'd been looking at this vehicle, and I purchased it on Wednesday afternoon. Did the final paperwork on it Wednesday afternoon, put insurance on it Wednesday, probably around 2 or 3 o'clock. And then, as most know, Thursday morning on my way to work on the interstate, I hit a deer doing about 70, 75 miles an hour in this vehicle. And I was able to limp it back to the house, and long story short there, I no longer have that vehicle. I am thankful for the Lord working that out, though, keeping me safe in that situation. But anyway, I made it back to work. And these are just things that are on my mind and that are just weighing me down a little bit. Some good, some bad. Get to work and start my normal day. And at the end of winding down on that day, getting close to quitting time, they let us know that they want us to start working 18-hour shifts. They want us to go to bed for 6 hours and get up and do another 18-hour shift. So we started, me and another guy, we started some 18-hour shifts. Made for some long hours. We were pretty busy. And then even in one morning, I had went to bed, and I was trying to get some rest, and I think I had slept for my 6 hours, and I got up to start my day, and then they let us know that the 18-hour shift thing was over. We're going back to our normal schedule. So I'd slept most of the day, and then was going to have to somehow try to go back to bed and sleep that night. Busy schedule, just real busy. Not much time to do anything other than focus on work. You know, I found myself pulling up my little devotional on my phone and breathing a little prayer as I was walking across the bridge of the platform, just to have, whether it was a minute or two, of my mind in a direction, knowing where it needed to be. You know, I found myself doing that. But at one point, things hadn't started to slow down yet. My wife had called me. We usually try to talk at least once or twice a day every evening. She had called me, and at some point during this conversation, she asked me if I was encouraged. And I probably gave, I told her, well, of course. Now, I don't want your jaws to drop or anything, but it kind of irritated me that she would ask me that. Because in my eyes, there was no reason for me not to be encouraged. But I don't know if she sensed something in my voice, my irritability. I don't know what made her ask that question. But it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way that she would ask if I was encouraged, if I was staying encouraged. But I mean, of course. I mean, that's why wouldn't I be? I think maybe it was the next day that things finally got back to normal, started to slow down. And I was laying in bed and knowing that I would be coming home soon and just trying to get my mind focused on the weekend. I knew I'd be in services for the weekend and Sunday school lessons coming up, and it ended up we weren't here anyway. We made a little family getaway. But at this point, that wasn't in the plans. And, you know, I was just trying to get my mind mentally where it needed to be. And just praying to the Lord. I really didn't even have a prayer. I was just kind of there. And I was praying to the Lord, asking Him to give me something, to show me something. And, man, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. I felt empty. I felt alone. I didn't feel like I was inside this circle, is the point I'm trying to make. I felt like I was out here, outside of this circle. And that's not where I wanted to be. And I started thinking back over my week, and thinking about all the things that I had been through and all the things I had faced. You know, we're going to face those things We're going to face those hardships in life. We're going to have good things come our way. I was so excited about this job. Still am. I'll start tomorrow, and I thank the Lord for it. But I faced all these hard things, these things that were getting me tired. And I realized my mind had become, I had allowed my mind to stray away from where it needed to be. I had lost my focus on God through all these few things that I had experienced in this week. And I know this is nothing compared to what others are going through. I understand that. But this is not normal for me. And this is what came to my mind that night when I was laying there. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, you know, I feel like I'm on the outside of this wall. I want to be on the inside of this wall, Lord. I want to get my mind right. I want to get it focused. And my testimony is I felt the Lord come down that evening. And I really felt the Lord bless. I opened up my Sunday school book and I was reading the upcoming Sunday school lesson. And the Lord met me there. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that He can bring us from those places when we do find ourselves in those places. But I thank the Lord that He was able to help me get my focus and get my attention back to where it needed to be. And I hope going forward that I will learn from these type of experiences. But it just, that's what brought these thoughts on. Was losing our focus from life situations, from things, because there are things, there are physical things that we can hold, there are places we can go that are distractions. But I think even just as much as the situations that we go through in life can do the same, can pull our minds from where it needs to be. Just thinking of a couple examples in the Bible of those who didn't let distractions get in the way. I was thinking of Moses building that ark. And how many years he spent building that ark. And all the people that were around him laughing at him, making fun of him. I'm sorry, I did say Moses, didn't I? I'm sorry, I meant Noah. I'm glad y'all were whispering loud enough for me to hear that, make that correction. But Noah, I'm sorry about that. All right, so Noah, building that ark, and how many years it took Noah to build the ark. And that was funny. But all the things that he had to face, the ridicule, the making fun of, the people laughing at him, but no, he persevered. He kept his focus where it needed to be. And look at what the result of that was. Him and his family were saved. And it is the same way in our lives. If we will keep our focus on the Lord, we will benefit from that also. Another one I thought of was David facing Goliath. That would have been hard for me to do, to face a giant like that. But he kept his focus where it needed to be. The other one I thought about was Daniel in the lion's den. How hard would that have been? To be thrown into a den of lions and have to stay there all night long and not let fear. That was another thing I wanted to bring out that I thought of while I was standing here earlier, fears. Again, referring back to the Sunday school lesson, I believe fears can bring distractions. We talked about fears this morning, dealing with faith, hindrances of faith, but I think fears can bring distractions. We can be consumed by our fears. Just as we can anything else. But Daniel was not consumed by his fear. Daniel kept his focus on God. Look at the result of that. And then I think of old Peter when he walked on the water and what happened to him. He was okay as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus, he was consumed. Fear got the best of him. He was consumed. Or he started to be consumed. Jesus reached out and saved him, and he got his attention back where it needed to be. But through life, we're all going to face our giants, as David did. We're going to face our lions, as Daniel did. But staying focused, keeping our eyes on God, letting Him direct us in whatever we face, if we can somehow, and this is one of those things, it's easier said than done, till we find ourselves in those situations, but if we can look through those situations and keep our eyes where they need to be, being determined, being dedicated, we can overcome, we can remain true, and receive the prize that is awaiting us. There was one more scripture. My end thought was this scripture I wanted to read, and that's in Isaiah 26:3. And it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Y'all pray for me.